This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
11 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. Thank you for joining the region's biggest conversation. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. How are you? How was your weekend? Hope no evil came your way. So, I mean, very disturbing is the news that the terrorists are now threatening to abduct the president, Muhammadu Buhari, and the sitting governor, talking about Kaduna State Governor Nasir El-Rufai. We have seen and heard things, but this is just unbelievable. You know what we're hearing now. And on the other hand, we're hearing the president saying that no stone will be left unturned. And while that is happening, it's over 100 days that we've had people that were kidnapped in the Kaduna train attack. That was March 28. Over 4 months now, they've been in captivity. People's children, people's parents, people's colleagues, people's loved ones, people's fathers, people's mothers. And nothing seems to be happening. Some people were able to pay the ransom that, you know, the terrorists demanded, and they were released to their families. But some other people were unable to pay, and those ones are still in captivity. Unbelievable. And we still hear the president saying that they're working, you know, they're dealing with the bandits, they're ensuring that the country is safer. And it continues to beg a question. It continues to beg a question. And then last week, there was this communication about the country now spending more servicing debts. Last, was it sometime this month? Early this month, I had Ignatius Chukwu come by and we had that conversation about which way the nation was going to go if we get to a point where the country can no longer meet up with its financial obligations. Yes, there is recurrence, there is capital expenditure, and there is debt servicing. There is debt servicing. So you hear them borrowing. States are owing. States are borrowing. The federal government is borrowing. And then the entire country is going neck deep into debt. Foreign reserve is dropping drastically. And here we are now, just last week, a document was released saying that the federal government has spent much more servicing debt than was, you know, earmarked in the 2022 budget. What does that mean? On the other hand, last week, in the opening days, I think that was on Monday, we heard that the dollar was exchanging the parallel market at 625. By Friday, it was 655, 57, 60, depends on where you're asking. And I started to think about when Emefiele said they were shutting down the Bureau de Change operators, you know, and get your forex from the bank. After he said that, a few days or weeks after, it looked like the government had everything, you know, sorted out. Go to the bank, apply. If you're going to travel, if you want to do business, apply. The banks will supply the forex. But months later, of course, it looked like the bad guys were having, you know, a field day again. And then it became almost impossible to get forex. And so by this morning, we hear that it's 660 Naira in the parallel market. By the way, the CBN also called for the shutting down of AbokiFX.com. That was a site where people could go on and check what you could buy, the dollar or the pound or the euro or whatever currency from on the streets. But it was shut down. It said they were manipulating, you know, trying to influence the actual value. And, you know, the CBN has always said that the actual value of foreign exchange is not reflected by the exchange rates at the parallel market. So they're saying, yes, we have enough. So don't worry, just apply to the banks. And it looks like something is not right. Something is not right. If people are saying that they've applied for BTA and they're not able to get at the banks. And then you go to the parallel market and $1 is 660 naira. Then there's something going on that needs some explanation. That's part of what my guest Ignatius Chukwu would shed light on this morning on The Crossfire. A very critical matter I want us to just talk about for a bit. You heard the news this morning. Bandits, when they released their video over the weekend saying that they're going to abduct President Buhari and Kaduna State Governor Nasir El-Rufai. I would like to know your thoughts on that threat. I'm very concerned about how they're emboldened to be able to just, you know, make that statement in the first place. But what does it mean for you as a Nigerian? I know many people have talked about the poor security architecture and how people are kidnapped, people are terrorized across the country. Before it was the south, the northwest, and then northeast, then northeast rather, and then it spread, and now we're here, and even next door.
You no longer have.
And even next door, we also have cases of terrorist activities. Yes, anybody that takes away your peace, that takes away your sleep, is terrorizing you. And then they kidnap, and then they ask for ransom, and then they murder people. But this one that the terrorists have threatened that they're going to abduct the president and the Kaduna State Governor. What are your thoughts on it as a Nigerian? The Kaduna State Governor, yeah, might be a target because... I mean, he's spoken very loudly against paying of ransoms, and the people that were kidnapped on an Abuja-Kaduna-bound train. So maybe that's what puts him in the mix. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009 are the numbers to call. Good morning, you're Nigerian Info.
Good morning. You know, my name is Mr. Colin.
All right.
All right, I want to react to that we kidnapped the president and El-Rufai. I won't support that. In as much as I don't like the president or this administration, I won't support that. Nobody should be happy to hear they want to kidnap anybody, no matter how bad. All right, the person is. I won't support because tomorrow, when they are done with him, they will also kidnap anybody.
Yeah, but a lot of people argue that they've been kidnapping regular people. All they've been hearing...
Now, though, the president should at least use this as a means to people. And also note that this is not all about the ordinary man, that they are coming to him. It should bring these people to a total end. That is just my statement.
All right. Thank you. Let's see if we can do this in 30 seconds. Good morning.
Good morning, Nigeria Info.
Yes, you're on.
Yes, my name is Bingo. I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
Okay.
You know, my worry is not just boldness in the utterance by these terrorists that they are going to kidnap the president and governor of Kaduna State.
Okay, I apologize. We cannot take this call. Maybe after the commercial. Do stay tuned. We're Nigerian Info. Good morning.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, 39 minutes gone past 8 o'clock means we've got about 23 minutes to have any conversation this morning on The Crossfire. My name is Enoch Bevery. How are you? So we're hearing two things. First of all, we had protesters come by here from Odoha, Idemoha local government area, looking for their son, their brother, who they said the Emoha Vigilante Service people, the MOV's members took when they killed someone, and they're looking for the person that was pulling their boots Until now, nothing has been heard. They can't find him. They don't know if he's dead or alive, and they want that taken care of by the chairman of the Emoha local government area, Dr. Chidi Lloyd, and of course the police. Also, we're hearing that there is a protest along the Emoha Kalabari Road, where we have drivers protesting the insecurity on that road. There have been several kidnap reports there, and so two major protests taking place. We hear Roland Sekibo is at that place where the protest is taking place along the Emoha Kalabari Road, and we'll be looking at these matters, not today though, but that's what's happening this morning. A very hectic one, I must say. So my guest is joining me about now, Ignatius Chukwu, Business Day newspaper, regional editor for the South. And then we'll talk about the economics, the dollar, the Naira falling rather. The exchange rate now is about 660 at the parallel market. In the CBN, the exchange rate market at the CBN is about 415 Naira. But then again, how many people have access? Those who want to travel legally, those who want to do business legally. And we'll look at that. And of course, the debt servicing, the amount that the country had earmarked for servicing debt has been overshot by the federal government. So is Nigeria broke? And if Nigeria is broke, where does that leave the citizens? Stay tuned.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, Ignatius Chukwu is here. Good morning. What happened to you?
So many things happened, but the worst is at Lewis. It was just a lockdown. I was there when you were reading the 8 o'clock news. You can see.
Wow.
We are there.
So
you know.
Between Elios and Rumo C, it took you 40 minutes.
Yes. Elios was just a lockdown. So later, one trailer that had the issue there. And that was
That's always the issue. So we have roads that are not wide enough. One car breaks down and everybody's locked down.
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, nonetheless.
Thank you.
Yes, so Nigeria happened to you.
Yes.
Bad, poor governance happened to you. And we're talking the issue of debt. You know, last week, the federal government released a report that the country is now spending more servicing debt than what was earmarked. Is Nigeria broke?
We had it first when the IMF... they were the ones that released that report, World Bank. You know, the World Bank monitors all nations. Mm. So they keep the balance sheet of every nation, and the experts, consultants work for them. They collate all these things, and that is why it's difficult for nations to lie, because they are not the only custodians of those records. The international records kept by many organizations, even private institutions like some big banks,
yeah.
Chase Merchant Bank, they have institutions, departments that keep world records and work with World Bank and the IMF. So, and then regional bodies like African Development Bank. So they keep all this data and the experts use them. So they were the first to say so, to warn that we were getting close to our limit of safe borrowing. So these things have been there. The only problem we have around here is that people, we wake up to it when it is on top of our heads. Mm. So it's not as if nobody. So when you are borrowing or when you are doing anything, the data will be updated every quarter. Mm. So you'll be seeing it annually. So the warning has been there, but what it means that now we have got the point to where you need to borrow to pay, you need to borrow to borrow. Mm. That's the meaning. You need to borrow to borrow. That means when you borrow, you first of all use it to pay the one you are owing, then you now qualify to borrow.
So where does that leave us as a nation right now economically?
It means you are getting close to crisis. Remember, about 1 year ago, a few quarters ago, we came here and we warned that we are getting to crisis. Some people sent me private messages and said, Mr. Chukwu, don't be so alarmist. that we still had a
messenger Abdul.
So they always think so. And another thing is, one negative thing I discover in our country is that we have not, as they say, civilization. If it's civilization, we have not civilized enough to know issues that are partisan and issues that are for everybody. There are partisan issues we agree. How should my party win? That is allowed. There are multi-partisan issues. That means you may be in different parties, but this issue affects all the parties.
Like the traffic that caught you this morning.
Yes. There are multi-partisan issues. There are across the table issues. But there are sacred issues that are far beyond and above politics.
Power, security, economy, food.
Like now,
health,
no matter if a government
education.
borrows, whether the government that borrowed is good or bad, the next government is obliged to that obligation, to pay back.
The debt.
To pay. So there are a lot of things, which means what is lacking in this country? I have not seen a mechanism. Nobody has cared to say, is there any time leaders meet not on partisan basis? Are there issues that say, if this issue comes up, not one party will decide it, there will be a multi-party discussion on it?
No, but they have all these meetings, governors forum, they have national security, economic, for all those things,
but the next party coming in, have you seen where the party in waiting or the party that's struggling for power, has there been at any point is there any meeting forum where all of them meet?
No, but even the ones in office, do they meet, and is there any solution from the meetings or the committees or the... Because they have all these things.
So I'm saying that the implication of my worry is that any person that says economy is bad is seen as opposition person. Mm. You see what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
We don't have a time when we say, at this point...
Okay, so collectively,
we
this
agree.
Issue that affects all of us.
ASUU
is on strike. Everybody come on board. Let's deconstruct and
get to the bottom of it. So if ASUU is on strike, it's a Buhari issue. It was a Jonathan issue. It was an Obasanjo issue.
But all of us are affected.
So even if... Are you aware when fuel subsidy was to be removed in 2011-2012? All the governors met. It was a party issue. All the governors met and agreed to remove subsidy and stand by it.
Mm.
Now, what happened? Immediately, subsidy was removed by the Jonathan administration. Maybe he removed it. The then opposition party went and attacked the ruling party to say, you are making the people to suffer. But you see, they all had agreed. But when it became more romantic to be in support of to be against removal of subsidy.
Mm.
So immediately they did so, some things we heard from the agreement, something terrible was about to happen. The party in power now rush and they return subsidy.
No, but that's where political will should have come in, and that's where communication. I think they failed primarily communicating to the people that this is what it is. And again, that also shows that the people have lost trust in the... I mean, this is over 10 years ago. If there was trust, then it would have been different.
But it is that part that agreed for removal of subsidy and now won the heart of the people by sympathizing with the masses and being against removal. The moment that party came up to say, we're against removal, and whose governor signed for removal? They now politically or partisanly became in support of the masses. They won the heart of the masses. And from there, rode to power and won. That same party is now struggling. They have removed it partially, impartially, removed it from backdoor, returned it. And they are now, as me and you are talking, they are now talking about 6.7 trillion needed to service subsidy. So you can see that they are paying a price of what they did in 2011-12. If the nation, not on partisan basis, if the nation stood for removal, they would have all been insulted at the same time. But they left the insult to one side and enjoyed. Now that is their turn to convince Nigerians. Is now more difficult than it was in 2011.
Okay, let's talk about Forex, because over the weekend, on Friday, I was trying to make some investigation, and I found that there was scarcity. That's what they told me at the black market, that that there was scarcity. And between within an hour, the dollar had added 10 naira. Mm-hmm. Or the naira had dropped by 10 naira.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so what could be going on? Because the CBN had said that they were going to stop giving money to Bro Dechange, and, you know, at that point, everything sort of normalized. But this is months down the line, and everything's gone crazy again.
Remember that time also we met here, and we said, fundamentally, inflow of foreign exchange and outflow supposed to have a balance for any nation. Mm-hmm. And that remember that this naira dollar, everything we're talking about is exchange of value.
Mm-hmm.
So if the value you send out of your country
in terms of goods and services
is not matching the value that comes in terms of goods and services, because this value is coming in when you hire experts to work at construction sites, to work at all rigs, to work at any level, those experts are paid in hard currency.
Mm.
Then you also import goods.
And when you send your children to school abroad.
When you send your children abroad, as we are talking about, as you said, is 1.5 trillion. So when you move 1.5 trillion naira, but you have that 1.5 trillion naira for education services, we go and chase dollar. To pay, you're not going to pay in naira. So you got. So when you enter the market to buy 1.5 trillion in every year, a dollar will be scarce. So it means that, and by the time you buy, then those who want to manufacture items, to buy equipment and the raw materials, they buy. By the time we all buy all these things, there's no way naira will not, dollar will not be scarce. So what I'm trying to say is that when the imbalance is against you, any other thing your central bank is doing is fighting, is the fire brigade.
All right. So we're here now. What's going to happen in coming days?
I don't like sounding. I like to warn far ahead.
Okay.
Because when you get to that place, there's not little or nothing you can do. Where we are now is that we are finding it difficult to balance our books. Prices of international inflation versus locally induced inflation, when you bring all of them together, is giving problem. And even insecurity brings its own and add to all these things. Because, you know, the economy has to move, and securing the economy is the number one work, but it's not an achievement. The achievement is in the economy. But for the economy to record an achievement, there must be another unknown achievement, which is security. The freedom to now, the freedom to be free. You see? So when you provide security, it's not counted for you. Because that I went to nightclub and the nobody touched me and I came back. Will I credit it to any government? It's not my right. It is when our security is touched that we now remember. So government doesn't take credit for security. Government takes blame only. Because when we are free, we don't thank government. But when we are not free, we blame government. That's the truth. So the economy now should have been a result of the freedom in security, achievement in security. Then you now translate that achievement to now economic measures. When people begin to earn more, begin to do well, they may now credit you. So the issue is that where we are now, that insecurity is not even allowing any our leaders to think right again. You are 24 hours spending for, and you're not even trusting the person protecting you. Threats are coming every day. And if you think it's a lie, then you think twice.
Thank you, Mr. Ignatius Chukwu. That's all we can take this morning. It's apologies for Nigeria that happened to you on the road, traffic jam. But we're here now. And thank you for your time. Truly appreciate it. My name is Enoch Beviri. We'll have him come by another time and have a more robust conversation. But I hope you heard and will heed to the warning, not just the people, especially the government and those who make decisions. Good morning.